Welcome to Lexington. Welcome back to Lexington, I should say.
Well, thank you.
It's been a while. 1996 is when you first appeared here in town over at the famous Lina's Music Emporium. And where the heck have you been all these years, man?
Oh, everywhere. Everywhere but Lexington. Everywhere but Lexington.
Well, you've got a new album out called Dear Lover. We've been playing music from it here at WUKY. A lot of people have been reacting, saying how much they like it. We'll talk with you at length in just a couple minutes. First, we've got to go ahead and get right to it. What are you going to play for us, Matthew?
I'm going to play the first song on Dear Lover. It's called City Life. Thank you, Mike. City life, raining on the street. I'd crawl back home if I knew she was asleep. The way we were, that soft and perfect kiss. But summer ends and it comes down to this. Mary Ann, we're in the blizzard now. With a dream, and fate's trying to be the plow. You gotta fight with all the light in your skull. We come too far to lay down by the side of the road. August 1, my head is full of junk. You see in time, the cruel pollution comes. Didn't cry until I opened up my mouth. We're headed north, but my God, this feels south. My God, this feels south. I miss your smile, I miss the way you'd move. Before all this, before so much to lose, my eyes are glow and on the fire escape. Why's it get so quiet when there's so much to say?
want that feel like a plane when it arrives. We're at the gate, family waits with quiet smiles. And all is pure with a bright sense of relief. I can trust you, love, if you can trust me. Yeah, I can trust you, love, if you can trust me.
Matthew, sounds really good.
Thank you.
Fantastic, as a matter of fact. Recorded all of this new CD in your home,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
What in the world compelled you to want to do that? You just more comfortable at home?
Honestly, it was something that I always wanted to do. Early last year, one of my big heroes is Joe Strummer from The Clash.
Oh, yeah.
And I can talk about Strummer for hours and hours on end. And I find Strummer particularly inspiring because of what he gave through punk rock, but also what he gave as a thinker and as a lover of music. So I pretty much anything I can read about Strummer or anything I can watch, I do. But early last year, I had read an interview with him. Some webzine, and one of the quotes that really stuck out to me, it's really simple. He had said that, as long as you have others to blame, you'll never learn nothing. And I've been making records for about 10 years now, and I love music, and I love doing it. and I've always wanted to be part of a band, so a lot of my records have always had a band quality to them. But that wasn't particularly honest, and I just felt that it was time. I felt like I had gotten my head around enough of what a record should do and how it should feel that I felt that it was time, and I wanted to try and, I guess over the years on records, I've gotten close to expressing exactly what my intent was, but with Dear Lover, it was really just about trying to find the most distilled version of how I wish to hear music.
This is
does that make sense?
It does make sense. And who doesn't love Joe Strummer? I mean, it's a very inspirational man.
He really is.
Now, something else that came into play here as far as inspiring you to write these songs, and you don't have to tell me why you were there, but from what I understand, you started writing the songs for Dear Lover after a trip to the emergency room in the winter of 2009.
Yeah.
What's going on there? What happened that made you want to start writing these songs? How did it all happen?
Well, it's the specifics of these things are sadly universal, and just to talk, particularly about what I went through would make it about me, and it's not really my goal with music.
Was mortality part of the deal?
Mortality was part of the deal, and it was, it's always too soon. I don't care if you're 25 or you're 15 or you're 100. Life is a beautiful thing, but I think what shook me was that notion that we get into this kind of rhythm with living and the ways that we occupy our time that sometimes get in the way of what it actually means to be alive. And so I wanted to make a record about reconnecting with those things that ignite you. you know, and try and make it as honestly as I could. So the themes are really are trying to peel away a lot of the static that we you know, maybe accidentally welcome into our lives. And whether it's with what your dreams are or love or any of those aspirations, you know.
You know, I always am amazed at how much emotion and feeling musicians have got in their hearts and in their minds. But I always also wonder if that is as a result of being out on the road, mixing with other musicians, writing songs and performing them. Did all of that come before your experiences, or did it happen as a result of your experiences?
That's an interesting, I think there's two things that go on. And one of the things I'm really grateful for being an artist and being a traveling artist is I've gotten to see so much of the world and see firsthand the ways that we're definitely more similar than we are different. So that's definitely probably enriched my worldview. But I've always felt, I can remember being a kid and hearing 16 Blue by The Replacements and thinking to myself, that feels like it was written for me, you know? And I think that what I've come to understand is that, you know, as as corny as it can sound, you know, artists tend to be sensitive types. They tend to feel and see the more subtle cues that we give each other in social living and intimate living. Right now I'm reading a book on Woody Guthrie called A Life by Joe Klein. And it amazes me, there seems to be a thread in how artists experience the world. And the thread is probably some strange conflict between hope and despair, you know? And I don't know that that's specific to artists, but I know, you know, I can only speak from my own experience.
You know, it seems so easy to kind of put a mask on the sensitivity that you're talking about, but when you find a way to express it like you do with music, it certainly comes out. It's doing it in big ways with this new record, Dear Lover. We love the record. You got your own label now. Mm-hmm. How's that working for you?
It is. I wish I would have done it sooner. I started the label with Monica Hopman, who's been my publicist and friend since about 2000. My second record came out in 2000. And she and I had just gotten to the point, honestly, Mike, where, and I'm sure, you know, anybody can relate to this, is that you reach a point where you don't want your dreams and your ambition at the mercy of somebody else's whims or somebody else's dreams and ambition. You know, so it to us it seemed like a purer approach to reach people.
A no-brainer.
Yeah. Particularly with the way that the technology has changed now. It just, you know, I think...
And let me ask you, have you actually thought about doing something similar to what Radiohead did, put it out there on the internet and let people pay what they want for it?
I've never thought about doing that.
I mean, what happened when you heard that they did that?
Well, I mean,
you're on your own now. You've got your own label.
Right. We do things like that all the time. I mean, we've donated several songs off the record to Haiti compilations and various education compilations and various things of this nature. I mean, we give songs away out of a generous spirit. But I think that it's understood that, you know, when Radiohead did that, I admire them because they manage to still be progressive. I mean, they're not quite, you know, No Country for Old Men yet, you know? But it's easy for Radiohead to do that, you know?
Hey, you know, you're really plugged into the TV industry.
Yeah.
You got songs that appeared on House, Dawson's Creek, and you did some live performances. I love this, on Late Night with Conan and The Late Show with David Letterman.
Yeah.
Done lots of touring. You've toured with Lucinda Williams, Steve Earle, Casey Chambers, Josh Rouse, Nancy Griffith. What's been the biggest thrill for you so far? I mean, you've been doing it for not that long, but you've got a lot of things packed into a short period of time. What's been the biggest thrill?
There. I've had two really. I mean, I could go on forever. I'm such a fan of artists, and
I know what you're going to say. It was your first performance here in Lexington in 1996, right?
That was a pretty big one. That was a pretty big one over there at Linus.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead. What are they?
I think my favorite moment that music has brought into my life was I got to have dinner with Peter Gabriel a few years ago. Mm. And he was... He was inspiring because he was so human. You know, with some artists, they create a shell around themselves, and it's understandable because, you know, even in my career that is relatively still obscure, I can understand why artists start trying to protect themselves in ways. What struck me about Peter Gabriel was how incredibly engaged and human he still was. And I always believe that you can tell a person by the way they treat waiters and waitresses.
Hmm.
And there was no difference between the way he treated us at the table and the waiter, which I thought was great. But that was probably my favorite moment that music has brought into my life. As far as watching Lucinda Williams play every night, that was inspiring. Steve Earle's been a great mentor. I mean, I've been fortunate in that I've been around some really, I think... you know, real lightning rods of what art should try and accomplish.
Can't let you go without another live song. What have you got lined up?
I'm going to play, I'm really torn, but I think I'm going to stick with what I was thinking. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to play another song you guys are playing. I'm going to play We Are Snowmen.
Oh, cool.
It's fun to pare these down into their kind of skeletal, from the record, you know?
Okay.
So, I'll try this. Darling, take my hand. This ride is getting rough, and there's no talk of trouble ceasing. I want you in my arms, the sound and the alarms, and no one knows if we've seen the worst yet. Sometimes I close my eyes and hum the songs we loved. Your dress was blue and you were as bright as Christmas. And down through all the streets, the air was cool and sweet. And all we knew was brief, but seemed eternal. The cathedrals and the banks, the stones we throw at tanks, the endless war of man versus himself. The traffic night and day, the things we try and say, the growing din of human wreckage. It started simple enough. Day broke and we woke up to the morning news and
the smell of coffee. I loved you with my mind. I gave you all my time. And then things got sublime. We are snowmen. We disappear. Our hearts are nuclear. With hope and fear. Hope and fear. Hope and fear.
That's Matthew Ryan live on WKY. Thanks for coming back to town, Matthew.
No, thank you. I hope to come back before, you know, 10, 12 years. I'm going to try and make it a regular thing.
Soon, we hope. Thanks
thank
again.
You.
Best of luck to you.